Good morning and welcome to the Wednesday edition of Down to Brass Tacks. I'm Joanne Haig and I will be your host for today. And looking after all things technical is my good friend John Stout. The number to call, 434-1790. To send us a WhatsApp message, 266-4862. It's been a really sad week, and first of all, I would like to offer my sincere condolences to the family, friends, colleagues of the late former Prime Minister Owen Arthur, and I pray that his family is at least comforted by the good work that he has done over the years when he was Prime Minister and even after. So again, I offer my sincere condolences from my family to his family, and may God give you strength in your time of need. One of the other things I want to mention about the former Prime Minister, the late former Prime Minister, we heard a lot of tributes from many, many people, but one of the things that he accomplished, or should I say he started, was the public sector reform. When he first got into office in 1994-95, and he was also instrumental in amending the constitution so as to protect the salaries and allowances of civil servants from being reduced. As you can remember, they were somewhat garnished and reduced by the previous administration, and he then gave them back their 8%. And I'm pretty much sure that all civil servants working around that time in the 90s can remember that and what measures he then put in place to make amendments so that that wouldn't happen again. And of course, then the public sector reform in terms of making sure that the public sector was producing. So something like that over the years has been a struggle. And for me, one of my suggestions would be instead of maybe a statue or together with a statue, which I'm hearing people are recommending and putting that recommendation out there, one may want to continue some of his good work that he started, and in particular public sector reform, and to see how best we can get it up and running in 2020 in the way that it should be, because we constantly hear about the cries of the treatment and inefficiencies of many government institutions. And I believe when he amended the constitution to return the 8%, and he also wanted for government workers to step up to the plate even more and make sure that you give good service. So I wanted to put that out there and for consideration, because I didn't hear it mentioned. I'm not saying it wasn't, but I'm sure civil servants, you can remember that time. In addition, it pained me this morning to see the headlines of a mother in tears and a boy beaten, and while mom cries for justice, a 10-year-old boy at the QEH hospital fighting for his life, according to the reports. This brought me back to young Ian Gibson in 2009. Again, that was a really hard time and still is for the family. I remember being the neighbor of Ian and his dad and seeing the pain that he went through on the passing of his child. The case is now over, and we're now seeing something very similar. So it reminded me of that incident. And what are we going to do about this bullying? Because basically that is what it appears to be. Again, we have to get more facts and to see who is responsible for this, and then what measures can be put in place to prevent something like this. It's been 11 years since Ian Gibson died, and one would think that we would have an anti-bullying campaign all right throughout the schools, and I believe that they've started, but we need to continue. We need to improve on it. Every time we see it, we need to stomp it out immediately, and we do need to hold parents accountable, I believe, for the actions of some of these children. So on that note, we will take your calls. Down to Brass Tacks, you are on the air.
Good morning, Miss Haig.
Good morning.
Hello?
Good morning.
Yeah, a couple of things there. The first thing that you mentioned just now, I was going to talk about that, but not about that youngster, but referring to Denny and his enthusiasm of having Nelson removed. My thing about it is that Denny should concentrate more on how these young black boys in Barbados are being killed with one another. And that grieves me a lot. The removal of Nelson doesn't affect me one way or the other. But when you can look at people every 2 or 3 years, see some of the youngsters who have gone the way beyond, that what grieves me. That's more concerned to me than having the removal of Nelson as a place Nelson, a museum, or doesn't really feel like placing him. That doesn't impress me at all. And that is not going to change the attitude of the young black men that we have nowadays. As a matter of fact, a lot of people in Barbados will tell you that instead of going, it's going to get better, it's going to get worse. So that's what David Denny should be concerned about. And not, and the people who supported David Denny having Nelson removed, they should be concerned about. And let me draw an example to you. Last year, there were 49 murders. This includes related murders, blast, knives, forks, whatever. This year, there are 25, but I miss. I think there should be traces. The latest one is the young lady that was found naked, all right? And when the Barbados Department of Office, between that and December, that over 10 murders. Tell me the total amount of murders that the Barbados Department will see in the 2 years' time. I don't know what time it is.
I'm sorry, out of what? The last 2 years of murders?
Last year, there were 49 murders. This year, I think there are going to be 26. Because you have to include now the young lady at the phone. And there were over 10 when the Barbados Department to office. What is the total amount of murders that were committed?
Well, I'm going to let you answer that, seeing that you seem to be a bit better at maths than I am.
No, I am not.
Well, I'm not good at all.
Okay. Tell me if there's any reason for not David Denny to be concerned about.
I think it's reason for every Barbadian to be concerned about. Period. Period. Whether it's this administration or the previous administration, something more needs to be done at the community level, not necessarily only at the government level. There are a lot of things happening. Look at the beating for this little boy. We're yet to know more about what happened. But looking at this, we have to sit back and stand back and ask ourselves, where are we going and what's happening in this country regarding violence? And more and more and more, we are seeing youngsters being hauled off to prison in their teenage years. So it's not only about the government and the Barbados Labour Party. It's the Democratic Labour Party when they were in office. It's the Barbados Labour Party. It's the people of Barbados. This concerns everybody, basically, is my point.
Yeah, but my thing about it, too, is that I heard a comment coming from the Commissioner of Police where he said that the crime is down by, I think it's like
34%.
Mm-hmm. Yes, yes. That did not impress me either. Let me tell you why. If a fella come and rob somebody, thankful that the person has got away with their life, but when somebody kills somebody, there's no coming back. So I wouldn't be more impressed if the murder rate in Barbados is down than if somebody going and robbing somebody or somebody can arrest them in somebody's house. So I would like the Commissioner of Police and tell me to come and tell you people in Barbados what is the statistics on the crime rate since the Barbados Department took over office. And the other thing we said is that dealing with the reshuffle of the government. I heard on this day radio station, even the moderator, Mr. Davis, he was thinking that this move might be a move of which the Prime Minister is looking towards the future. The first thing I always tell people, opinion is not a fact. What are the facts, Ms. Ed? The facts is that Edmund Hickson, George Payne, and Trevor Prescott were demoted. That is a fact. We cannot read the Prime Minister's mind. We do not know what is happening in her head. So to come on the radio station, I would like the radio to stop it, and to speculate is to mislead the population about this. And without further ado, you have a
great day. Have a wonderful day, too. Thank you very much. Down to Brass Tacks, you are on the air.
Hello, good morning.
Good morning.
Good, ma'am. I just want to lend my voice in sympathy to the Alpha family, the Professor Alpha family, and the wider Barbados and the world. Now, on Monday, I had an experience right at the First Avenue Fairfield. There's a very big hole there. They just paved the road, and there's about tree cutouts already in that newly paved road. I was riding, coming down there around 6:15 the evening. Just cool. I'm 60 years old, so you know, in the body, plenty full. This riding going down there was going to do some business. And just look, and when I look in front of me, there was this big hole. I dropped right in it. Hit the right side of my cheek. I had on my helmet, and then I hit my two hands in the ground. My shoulder, if you see my shoulder, my entire right shoulder, right line, is all bruised. My knees, everything. And I was on the ground. A young lady came, put her hand under my arm, and lifted me off the ground. The other guy took out the bicycle, tried to get out the road. If any vehicle was behind me, just casually driving, it would have run right over me. I mean, I seen that every time I shut my eyes. And they put me on the sidewalk, and they gave me some water, washed me off, and tell me just sit, catch myself, and then I went on. I went to Black Rock Police Station, and I, on entering the door, you got Mark pull. I pulled the door, and the gentleman says, "Stop right there. What can I do for you?" I said, "But I want to report." I was just kind of in the road. I explained to him what happened. "What can do? What can we do for you? We can't do nothing for you. You got to get the MTW." The unstaining do, water settling in my eyes, and I came right back out. And that's, I didn't even get inside the door. My foot did go in the air. And that's how I was treated. And I just come along. I have an appointment to see a doctor today, just now. And I'm going to get them to check me and see if there's anything that can be done, because I need the public of Barbados to know about that particular hole. You might shun it with a car. You might shun it with a bicycle. And somebody's going to get hurt there. I want MTW or MCW, whoever looks after the road. I want to leave my number at the station that they can call me. And if they want to come and examine me or make an appointment, I can see them and let them take a good look at what I look like right now. I'm bruised.
Okay. If I can say, first of all, let me say how sorry I am to hear that you were injured in that way.
Yes.
So I wish you a speedy recovery, and I truly do. However, it may have been wrong for the police officer to treat you in that way, but he is correct in saying that the MTW is responsible. You see, you had an accident that involved only you. Thank God, as you said, no one was behind you. Normally, the police, you know, would come at the scene of an accident between two or more vehicles. So if you just fell off your bicycle, for example, because you ran into the wall or something like that, not seriously injured, but, you know, scrapes and bruises, as you have just described, then MTW would not really be your first course of action. Your doctor should be the first course of action, I would think.
I got an appointment today.
Well, that's good to hear, but I was hoping to hear that you went right away.
It was after 6 o'clock.
Okay, well, you know, QEH is still functioning, and I can't assume that you can afford the private, so I wouldn't venture to say that. But I'm still glad. Sorry?
I must. There's a private doctor going to right
now. Well, okay. So, but anyway, long story short, I'm glad that you're okay. The police station would not have been your first
action. I'm not annoyed with the police or anything like that. I just wanted them to record it. That's a recording.
Have you attempted to call MTW before you called the station?
Pardon me?
Have you also called MTW before you called?
It was after 6 o'clock Monday evening.
Well, no, today's Thursday. Have you called MTW?
It is Wednesday.
Apologies. I'm usually on a Thursday. My apologies. It's Wednesday. Yes. It's Wednesday.
What I would like them to do, I want to leave my number that they can call. I want somebody in authority that can call me.
But did you call them? That's what I'm asking.
No, ma'am. Yesterday, I was trying to get other things done. I did not call.
All right. Well, I'll tell you what. You can leave your number, but I would strongly advise you that when you hang up this phone, also call MTW and report that. Okay?
Yeah.
Don't rely on your radio station, but also call MTW and report. That would be the correct thing to do as well, in my opinion.
Thank you.
Thank you, too.
So I will hold on and leave the number.
You do that. All right? Down to brass tacks. Good morning. Good morning, you're on the air.
Good morning, how are you?
I'm good, what about you?
Well, I don't know.
You don't know?
I don't know. Okay. Now tell me something. What would you call a good leader?
One of the first things I look for is what you call moral leadership. Someone who has not lost their way morally, someone who can exercise good judgment, someone who listens to those who know so that they can make the best decisions, and you have to have good judgment in order to do that.
Good. Would you say that we have any of those people that will meet that criteria that you just laid out?
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Well, I would like to see those people you are talking about.
You don't think that we have good leaders? Leaders in what regard? At the management level, the government level?
Management level, prime minister level, all the way through. Now, let me ask you something. If you was a leader of a black movement and you try to support another country where black people have been all feared, and you want to demonstrate your anger or your anger towards how black people were treated, will you go to the person place when it is shut, or you will go there when it is open?
You need to get straight to the point with exactly what you mean.
Mr. Denny had some people that went up to the embassy a Saturday morning. In my opinion, that was foolishness, and the people that follow him, I don't think had much common sense. Because the time that they should have gone was between Monday and Friday. But we have the IMF money. You would agree with me or disagree. But when we talk about Black Lives Matter, that little boy that you talk about, that matters too. It's not when a white person unfair us. It is blacks upon blacks. And when you talk about, when I asked you that question just now, I mean, we got a lot of people from the top to the bottom. And when I say at the top, I mean from government right down. The only people they are interested in is their friends and if they can get a pass back. You know that, and I know that. Or you don't know that.
You can't speak for yourself, okay?
Well, you see, that is where moderators and people like me and others are kind of wrong. So you don't know that.
No. What I'm saying to you, you have an opinion. You can't just tell somebody that they know that too. We don't know each other to that extent that we can have that. You can jump to that conclusion.
So you don't agree with what I just said?
I'm listening to you, but when you ask me about leaders, when you ask me if I, but I answered your question.
You disagree with what I say?
Could you 1 second, let me just say what I have to say. You asked me a question about leadership and if I thought we have those types of leaders here, and my answer was yes. You disagreed with me, correct?
I disagree with you, and
I ask you,
let me put it this way then. Since you want to be diplomatic, I can be too. Do you agree with me that some people in both government, management, and any position where they hold some sort of authority looks out for their family and friends, and who they could offer at the same time to get into a position, yes or no? Do you agree with me?
I totally agree that it varies, and different leaders have different personalities, and some are not even suited for certain positions that they hold. Of course, that happens right across the board.
Good.
In anything that you do.
Now, I don't know if you hear, because we could be in a disagreement this morning.
That's all right.
Mr. DeMarcia talked about 4-8, where the Democratic Labor Party put people in positions. Did you hear that? Or did you not?
Go ahead. This was yesterday in the House?
Yes, ma'am.
Yes, and they talked about 300 and something plus positions that were not legal, and they were now making it legal, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Right.
Yes.
Now, I would like Mr. Marshall to come on the air, because it bothers me when politicians talk about other parties and they are doing the same thing. And tell the people of this country, if the people who are now working at NCC, and I think another government agency, were picked by ministers, and if so, why they did not go to PAD?
I think, though, and you can correct me if I'm wrong or anyone, when they were talking about the 300-plus jobs, were they not referring to jobs that come through the civil service as opposed to board-appointed jobs? There's a difference. there are positions that were created that were not legal in their opinion. I can only go by what they're saying because they're the law, so they would know.
If you create 500 jobs, mm-hmm. and did they not go to pay the call they were supposed? That is why this thing with ministers sending people to get a job was done away with a long time ago.
Yeah, but does the same apply for if there's a board versus if it's statutory versus...
No, everything was supposed to go through PAD. Nothing is going through PAD and people are getting employment. And when you check, there are some ministers say do this and the person that in charge said, well, you know, we can't do nothing, minister saying this body. So I think I say anything, but when he could talk with the Democratic Labour Party, look at you because you did it too.
Well, as I said, SOEs, I believe, have a different way of hiring as versus those other government agencies that have to go through the public service. And it's two different things. The civil service, hence the reason when people were retrenched. If you remember, in 2018, they're all SOEs, all statutory boards. They couldn't touch the other civil servants. They would have to really change the laws in order to do that. But again, we will hear what others say and how they weigh in and their opinions on what you just said. I want to thank you so much for your contribution. We'll be back after the break. Welcome back. During the break, I got a message on my phone on WhatsApp and one that I don't particularly care for, because let me say exactly what this person messaged me. In my opening remarks pertaining to the little boy who was in hospital fighting for his life, the person messaged me to say, well, Ms. Sig, you know, that's life, things happen. And I was so shocked for that response from someone who I think should know better. And I'm actually very sick and tired of hearing when bad things happen and people saying that's life. That is only life when people create that type of life for you. You know, sometimes you go along your merry way, you're happy, you're doing well at school in this case, or you're doing well at work. And people come your way to do something to you. And I don't accept that. I don't accept that that's life. That is not how life should be. And this is why we need to constantly stand up and speak out against things when we find that is hurting or killing each other. And I'm tired of hearing it. I'm tired of hearing, well, that's just the way the world is. And no, you are responsible for you. I'm responsible for me. Parents are responsible for their children. People need to stop and take stock of their lives. Look in the mirror and see what you can do to make this place a better place. If you don't want to look at the world and figure you can't help, at least look and see what you could do here in Barbados to help another person. Whoever did that to that little boy, and if it was other children, I mean, I don't know, it's under investigation, then the parents need to be held responsible for it. So don't message me and tell me that that's life. I refuse to accept those types of words now when I see people being killed and I see people being unfaired or people being victimized and all kind of things like that. We don't accept that. Never accept that. This is Down to Brass Tacks. You are on the air.
Peace be unto you and yours.
And to you.
The staff, Mr. Stout, thank you very much. First, let me say, Ms. Haig, that is always happening. You're being victimized for standing up for the truth from what you believe in, from the top right down to the bottom, from the highest to the lowest man, when you have to speak out. About the gentleman with the bicycle, before I start, what I have to say, I fell down when Mr. Lashley in the other government was the Minister of Transport and wore out Dal Keith. All of my face, my right side, and my forehead, my eyes, everything was damaged up to this day. I called, and he did call me back, and he allowed me what to do. And I did, up to this day. I still have a whim in my head. I went to the doctor, and I always get frequent headaches. I get a lawyer, because when anything, he tell me get a lawyer. I went to one, and I didn't like how he was saying. I went to other lady. She waiting. Upwards to this day, I haven't yet no reply on anything. Well, afterwards, But when I call, I didn't call even about that. I called to ask him to get it fixed because the walkway was high and low. Well, since that this government came in, I personally saw now that it fixed properly. So the minister belongs to that area, so I guess the persons out there, out paddock and thing, probably must complain. Mm-hmm. So it fixed now. So that's the same thing with unfair. And when you are poor, you always get injustice. I'm sorry for the youngster, and I am praying that he will pull through. You know, for his mom's sake, that's what you have to tell. Until you have the children and you tell them, don't go out, stay inside, they have things inside they can do and play with. They don't want to hear, they want to go outside on the road and all.
But
these
no, but
happen.
Still, children have a right to be outside, to play, and to be safe. So you can't keep them
inside. I know many
in,
that grew up and they came out to be good children and not wanting them.
Well, ma'am, I don't know if I understand in today's world how we're seeing a lot more violence. But again,
right.
We need to start coming down and changing some of these things or finding ways that we can reduce the spate of violence we're seeing. But I certainly would not want to imprison a child or all children to be inside.
And in prison, and if you have wrong your place, they can run around your place. Right there, wrong your place, you know what's going on. Nothing there happening there.
Well, in this case, it seems that he might have been in the neighborhood. Well, I still think that people should be free at this stage, any stage in their life, to go out and not to be attacked. That's like telling a woman you went out in a short skirt, so, you know,
that's
things can happen.
Like,
that's wrong, too.
I was
too.
There Friday, and a gentleman came here to do something for me, and we just leave out there about an hour after. My neighbor came to me and asked me if I hear anything, I saw anything. Somebody went right over the person's feeling. You're in your own house and people coming in. You know, so you got to be careful as ever. But my point is, yesterday I heard Mr. Johnson. He was very good yesterday, welcoming back again, and he was speaking about politics. And I heard Johnny Tudor, so I want to say a few things with Mr. Arthur. He was a grassroots person, I must say. And when I first called, the next day he passed, or the same day, the morning, Mr. Ellis asked me what I could say about him, but I was so shocked and hurt because I was praying that he would pull through too. And I couldn't say anything right there and then. I spoke about he being a family friend and like a family to my mother and my stepdad and my family and them. But my thing with Mr. Arthur is when he went to the big world heads overseas and he told them, Master, they are done. And as the lady was saying, you give your roses while you're alive, and I believe in that. Give your roses, give people their due cheer, honor them while they're alive. I heard Mr. Tudor then came, and Johnny Tudor, and he was speaking about Mr. Arthur and about my constituency. I was raised in Kiewood, Tichburn. And I want to say that I could never, as long as I live, forget Don Blackman. And I know people that from St. Michael's East will be listening. Trevor Prescott, too. I raised with Trevor Prescott. I know him. I raised with Mr. Tudor. I had a traverse there going to Springer School, and I know his dad very well. And when we passed, sometimes when he got any little tips and we see anything, he would tell us off. But I know him well. I can't say no much about the other gentleman. I can't remember his name that run for the because he's from in the Ivy, so I can't remember him, but I know these people well. And Don Blackman came and turned that constituency around. The home health, he didn't only help Bajans, there was St. Lucians, Dominicans, Vincentians that were living all around there. Those persons got jobs in home help and other places that they were able to build houses. I have two friends near the rest in peace that went to school with me, but they were able to own their own homes through working at home help. He came and he helped those who couldn't afford to repair their house because my great aunt was one that she was a pensioner and she got her home repaired to Don Blackman. Trevor Prescott, God bless you, he bought Don by us. And I was mad when Mr. Adams dismissed Don. And that is what made me tell myself, like he, Mr. Johnson was saying, where we always trying to kill each other against parties and we should not wish and we shouldn't do, because who ain't Godfather is Godmother. Mm-hmm. I'm married to somebody's sister. from the other party or whatever, and I don't think about that. But for me, after that happened, I tell myself, if I know somebody and I know them personally and they're running for thing and I choose to give them my vote, I will. But that day, I born a BLP. The house I was raised in, my great aunt said that her, Grantley Adams, God bless him, sent her son to the farm labor in America that he could have given her shelter, and that was the shelter that raised me in. So I came along that way, my mother, my mother, my siblings, everybody. But Tom is what made me upset we had done his cancer. Now, for
so
me,
how do you feel about Trevor Prescott now and what happened to Trevor? Seeing you mentioned that he's a
well, I felt bad that his position is not there anymore, but I guess he did his best, and all they have to do is to just hang in there. I know the people in he's a grassroots man also, and the people in the constituency appreciate him, and I know I don't live up there anymore. I vote 30-something, must be 40-something, 30-something years now. But that there is still where I was brought up, so they are still my people. So,
all righty.
You know, I can, as the gentleman said, don't know what in the... And that everything is subject to changes. So I guess the Prime Minister knows what she's doing.
Mm-hmm. All right, well, thank you very much for your contribution. It's now 10:37, down to brass tacks. Good morning.
Good morning, John.
Good morning.
How are you today?
I'm very good. What about you?
I'm pretty good.
Fantastic.
Now, I got three questions for you.
All right, let me sit up for these questions.
Three topics. I said question, but I meant topic.
Okay.
Now, I made my contribution already pertaining to my connection with ONC More Alpha yesterday.
I heard a little bit, yes.
Yeah. Now, yesterday's contribution, especially to the electorate of this country. Now, you would have heard I came on this year on many occasions. I said I have no attachment to political parties officially, but I can support who I want to support, and no politician could make me drive behind them. I say that to say this to bring you in connection with what you have heard from Clyde Masker yesterday, and Chris Sinclair, my friend. Now, this would make the electorate understand that don't listen to politicians. Evaluate things of yourself. Now, after hearing Clyde Masker, who was the leader of the Democratic Labour Party, carrying an attack on ONC More Alpha as Minister of Finance, the expectations that all of us would follow him and what he would say. Chris, the same thing. Now, when you hear their contribution yesterday, how good Owen Alpha was as a prime minister, and the public and the electorate had adhered to the things that they said about Owen Seymour Alpha when especially Clyde Masker was leader, would we have such a good prime minister to carry out the duties that he did and what he did on behalf of the country if he had listened to Clyde Masker? That's one question. You got that?
I'm making a note of your rhetorical questions, but go ahead.
Good. All right. The second one. You know, we goes on and we more or less listen to politicians, but we do not take, I would say, audit of what is happening in the political sphere. Now, since ministerial government, we had nine political leaders, including the present one. Now, you would have heard on many occasions, the average person will be asking about visits and orphan pension. You could recall hearing many people said that they cannot get the visits and orphan pension, since the husband dead, they're not getting pension and stuff. So you remember that?
Mm-hmm.
That is a regular debate. Now, I take note to register nine political leaders. Of the nine political leaders, there were Grantley Adams, Albert, Tom Adams, Bernard St. John, Owen Alford, David Thompson, and now Sir Lloyd Stewart and the present Prime Minister. Out of those nine leaders, there are two who have gone, Grantley and I wrote, let me call the first name, not any disrespect. Their widows have passed on. But at present, we have 4 widows receiving pension. Tom Adams' wife, Bernard St. John, Owen Arthur, now David Thompson. And the only 2 that remain that were receiving pension directly would be Sir Lloyd and Perendell Stewart. Then Mayor Martley, the Honourable Prime Minister, has not reached that stage. But I would like people to look and see that what sort of pension that are being paid out towards the political leaders. No disrespect for that. I just want people to be clear in what is happening in the country and to misunderstand the audit and to misunderstand where the finances are going. Now, last but not least, remember that any country without proper justice system could cause chaos in this country, because you are living in a political world now where you could pick up anything off your phone, you could be aware of everything. Now, I said last week, not knowing that she was about to make a statement pertaining to the reshuffle of the cabinet, and then I heard that she had taken up rural and urban, I said, I had said this before to previous prime ministers, Stuart Thompson, I said that to them, that is the key to development of this country. Because as soon as Owen Arthur had already said that when they receive government to make all poor people live better. And from the time she took up ruling urban, I said she is on the right path. She is thinking like a true politician. But I want to advise her to take time out and look at these legal people that are attached to these statutory corporations, because it cannot be her. It is people that behind the scene that is going to wreak havoc on the minds of the people with their indiscriminate behavior. And I can leave this question with her. And I want her to do what she is to do. I want her to investigate who is the legal person that is representing housing that wrote a letter. You remember that little boy that dropped in the well and the pine?
Yes.
I want her to investigate housing and find out who is the legal person that represented that boy. And I want her to look also at the 2 rural and housing and see who legal officer, and she must check out the costing of these legal luminaries that involves.
Well, you see, no, the questions you have were not for me. You made me sit it for nothing. But it's because you're putting them out there. But let's see who responds. And I want to thank you, as always, for your contribution. We'll be back after the break. Welcome back. Down to Brass Tacks. You're on the air.
Good morning, Ms. Haig.
Good morning.
And good morning to the listeners. On another show, right, I said that a statue should be placed in Bridgetown. That was on an early show with the former Prime Minister Owen Arthur. Even if they put it in Hero Square or anywhere around Bridgetown, right? Because he served for 14 years. Anyhow, Ms. Haig, a bill was passed in the House yesterday, a discrimination bill.
Yeah. You know, with the, yep.
Right?
Yep.
I heard Mr. Franklin and I heard Reverend Attlee talking about this bill that easing, this domestic partner bill that easing. So what is
we talking about two different things. Like yesterday was the Employment Prevention of Discrimination Bill 2020 was yesterday.
And that is in there too.
Oh, I did? I didn't listen to the whole. Okay. So what do you want to know? What is a domestic partner?
What is a domestic partner?
Well, I would think that someone that you spend time with on a daily basis domestically, and possibly even professionally, depending on if you are in business together too as well.
Well, from my understanding, I this ain't got nothing to do with the discrimination bill for the workplace. So this domestic partner, I thought the, a partner is someone that you live in a house with, a man and a woman. But this domestic partner...
But why does it have to be a man and a woman? You're assuming... Here's the thing, and if I could speak freely.
Uh-huh.
I think the problem that people are having, you need to separate intimacy with a relationship. I can have a relationship with you as a friend. You're my, say you're my best friend. And something happened to me, and I said, look, I want Miss Undecided to be my next of kin. I want Miss Undecided to be on my bank account and joint statements, etc. Because you're my buddy, you know, you're my best friend. You've been there for me all my life. The only thing that is really getting under people's skin, which I don't see why, because behind what people do behind closed doors is their business. You know, the people actually have a problem with the intimacy level of a partnership. But what people of the in what you call a domestic union, if you want to put it that way, I will speak freely, same-sex domestic unions, because there are same-sex domestic unions out there as well as the opposite sex. People are more concerned about the intimacy side of it.
What I'm saying is
all of the legal rights that you get when you are married to a man or to a woman is what they're fighting for. So
let me talk. All right, let me finish saying what you have to say. You can say after.
Sure.
As I understand it, a partner is a man or woman living in a house. But this domestic partner thing this is a smart move though. This included a man and a woman living in the house. So they have the same rights as, they don't have to be married.
Mm-hmm.
They have the same rights as a married couple. They can do the same thing as a married couple.
But can I ask you something? If you are my best friend, just a normal friend, but I wanted you on all of my legal rights, papers, house, everything. And I said, you know what? I have no children. I want to leave everything to Miss Undecided. No, nobody don't know anything else other than I put you as that. Should you not be entitled to those things if I have labeled you as my partner, my best friend?
You can't. You will have to be my woman, not my best friend. But you have to be my woman.
No, wait. What I'm saying to you is the argument is what I think is bothering people is the intimacy side of a same-sex relationship.
Mm-hmm.
If you take that out of the equation... And two people are living together as best friends. Forget that side of it. As best friends. Shouldn't they be afforded the same rights to legal rights, property, naming them as whatever, you know, the medical proxy, different things that you would put on a document to say, look, Miss Undecided is my right hand. She's my partner. I didn't say anything about the intimacy side. I just said she's my partner. That's it. Why do we have to worry about the other side of things, the intimacy level of things? Why is that such a problem?